Let us then turn in God's words to Psalm 55 as we continue in the Psalms. And our consideration of them, we turn to Psalm 55, which was, David writes this in the midst of being betrayed by his own son, being betrayed by one of the best counselors in the history of the world. And so as we consider this psalm, we need to see the depths of David's trouble, the depths of David's trial, and consider even at our worst times, the grace of God who cares for us, the grace of God who protects us as his people. So let us hear together God's word. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old, because they do not charge, they do not change. Therefore, they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who are at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we read this psalm, it is what we call an imprecatory psalm. It's a psalm that calls down God's judgment on the wicked. And it is one that may make us feel uncomfortable as Christians to be praying these sorts of things. And yet, brothers and sisters, we need to understand the wickedness, the horror of wickedness. And at that same time, as we consider the horror of wickedness, we must understand as well God's care for his people in the midst of the worst situations. We have the strength, the power of Almighty God. And as we read, God will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And so even in the midst of the darkest situations of our lives, in which our culture would call it depression and so many other things bear down upon us, And David had a good reason to be depressed here. Don't get me wrong. And we may well, from an earthly matter, have a good reason to be in sorrow and in hardship. But God does not allow His people to be moved. We can hold fast to the wonders of the grace of God, to the salvation which God provides for us, and to His protection even in the midst of the trials in which we find ourselves. And so while we live in a world that there are going to be those who betray us, we are going to be in grave trials and in dangers. Yet our hope must always be in God and crying aloud to Him. As we look at this passage of God's Word, at this prayer of David, as we look at that, the theme that we want to see here as we look at God's Word is, though betrayed by friends, God's people trust in His protection. Though betrayed by friends, God's people trust in His protection. In the first 9 verses, we see that God's people call on Him in distress. In verses 10 through 15, we see that God's people are oppressed by traitorous friends. And then in verses 16 through 23, we see that God's people cry to Him and are saved from danger. But look at David as we open this psalm. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Now David cries out to God saying, hear me. But brothers and sisters, when we cry out as Christians before God, we can be certain that Almighty God hears our prayers. We have to understand how awesome that is. We talked about that last Lord's Day as well. When we cry out to God, God hears our prayers. Think of the parable of the unjust judge and the widow that came to him again and again and again. God hears us. God loves us. Now we have to understand God's wisdom is greater than ours, and God is working out all things together in the right manner. And so sometimes He has a reason, actually always He has a reason to bring us through trials. But we have to understand that we are heard by Almighty God. And yet, how does David apply his need before the throne of grace? Attend to me, hear me, I am restless in my complaint, I moan noisily. There are times in the deepest of trials, in the deepest of troubles, when we will come before God and all we can do is moan before Him. And we have an awesome promise from God that when we don't even know what to begin to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes with words which cannot be uttered. God hears the cry of our hearts. And so we can apply ourselves before the throne of grace, saying, Lord, I don't even know where to turn. I don't even know really what the problem is. God, You know. And I trust in You. Direct, Lord. Work all things according to Your wisdom. And what is the situation in which David cries out? Because the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Now what had happened? David's own son had fought against him, had usurped the kingdom. David is getting a little bit older. He has promised the kingdom to Solomon, and his son Absalom had decided that his father hadn't made that motion yet. I'm going to usurp the kingdom. I'm going to take over. And one of David's best friends, Ahithophel, had joined in. I want to read what the Bible says about Ahithophel's counsel in 2 Samuel 16:23. Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. And so David prayed that God would make the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And David sent another one of his friends, another counselor, Hushai, to do a very dangerous service to David, to say to Absalom, I'm going to serve you, and give foolish counsel. And God, by his grace, caused Absalom to follow that foolish counsel of Hushai instead of the wise counsel of Ahithophel. And yet David is hurt and broken. His best friend, his best counselor, had gone over to the enemy. And so David is crying out before God, in danger of his life, his son and his best counselor, whose counsel is as though one had requested counsel of God and gotten it, was there fighting against him. In wrath, they hate me, my own son. And the terrors of death have fallen upon me. He is, at that point, looking death square in the face. His son is sending out warriors after him to overtake the small band that had run away with David to kill him. And so he is in fear, verse 5, and trembling and horror because of the situation. Now, of course, God had told him this was going to happen. This is part of God's judgment on David for taking Bathsheba. And yet at that same time, where does David look? Even when the trouble is our own manufacturing, where can we look? We can still look to the gracious God who saves sinners. And so David, in the midst of this situation, says, I just want out. I want to be nobody again. Says, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would wander off and remain in the wilderness. He just wants to get away from trouble. And how often do we as human beings in the middle of hard situations say, I just want out. But guess what? God puts us in these situations not so we can get out, but that we can serve God and be obedient even in the midst of that. How much less of a witness would David's life have been if he had just gotten out? And how much less is our life a witness when in the middle of living in a grave trial, whatever that happens to be, whether it be cancer, whether it be so many other things that take away so many of the good things that we have in this life, or grave trials which we experience as human beings, how do we live as servants to God, as those whom God has saved in the middle of that? That is a far greater witness than our culture who says, well, then kill yourself. Or other things that they say. Avoid it. Our goal, our life is not about here. Our life is about the glory of Almighty God. How do we do that? That ought to be a question in the midst of all of the trials and all of the things we experience as human beings. And so David says, I just want out. And God says, no, you're going to go through this. And he says the same thing to us. when we want out, when we want to escape from the storm, God says, I am with you through it. I am with you walking through it with you. There is nothing here in this passage of betrayal that we have not done to our Savior, that He has not experienced. And what did Jesus say on the cross, even as He was specifically perhaps talking about those who had put Him physically on the cross? You've heard me say, it's because of my sins that Christ was on that cross. He says this to us. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so even though we have betrayed our Savior, yet He, as we continue looking at the things that David calls down from God in this imprecatory psalm, He also, God is gracious to us. We deserve the same things. And so, brothers and sisters, first of all, we need to realize, even in the worst distress, God hears us. Even when we are trembling with fear, and all we can do is moan, God hears us. So then in verses 10 through 15, we want to take a look at what's going on. David's concern is not just for himself here. What's going on in the city, in Jerusalem, where David's palace was and his seat of his rulership? They circle the walls day and night and in the morning. They produce trouble in the midst. There is no safe time in the city. They go around all on the walls. They look down and see everyone and keep them in line. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst. What has sin done to this world? We have to see the wickedness of sin, that it produces these sorts of things in our cultures instead of the peace and prosperity which would be if people followed Christ. They produce destruction, oppression, lies, verse 11, deceit. When wickedness rules, he says, a friend turned against. It's not an enemy, David says, verse 12, or else I could bear it. David states this traitor is his friend. He's Ahithophel. He is a close friend. They've gone to worship together. And now he's seeking David's death and counseling Absalom to do wicked things for the purpose that Absalom would become king, that Absalom would be able to kill David and overthrow the nation. And what does David say? Absalom has committed treasons, as has Ahithophel. Verse 15, let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. Treason is rightly punishable by death, and that is what David seeks from the justice of God. And by the way, this is what happened to Ahithophel. Absalom followed Hushai's bad advice, bad counsel, and Ahithophel killed himself. We live in a world that is broken backwards and upside down because of sin. And yet, what do we do so often? We choose the sin rather than to serve God. We have been traitors to our awesome Savior, and we need to turn again to Him, to trust in Him. And again, we need to be reminded of God's grace to sinners. Believe, repent, And our sins will never more be mentioned to us, God says. And so we cry to Him, we cry to God, and God saves us from danger. Now that doesn't always mean that we live through it. It doesn't always mean that we get what we want. But the most important thing we have as human beings, as Christians, is our eternal promise of God. And so in the book of Revelation, those who overcome are not always the ones who live and have a happy day. And we have to understand that as well. As we live in this world, it doesn't always mean that we're going to get over whatever's making the trouble. That those who are causing problems are going to be stopped up. And yet God is the one who saves us. And oftentimes that is exactly what God does. When we pray, when we seek His throne of grace, God is the one who provides victory and safety. And even if He does not provide earthly victory, He provides eternal victory. And so we cry to God who hears. Verse 16, I called on the Lord and He will save me. What's our response to treachery? We cry out to God. And notice that word shall. God will save us. There's no question there when we cry out to God. As I said, it doesn't always take the form that we think it should. But God is the one who provides salvation and hope even in the hardest trials. I cry day and night, verse 17, evening, morning, and at noon, always I pray. I cry aloud. As we said, David was so far in trial and in trouble. He says, all I do is moan. And even at those times in which all we can do is moan, God hears that. And God has redeemed, verse 18. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. They were too many. And yet God is the one who provides victory and safety. Even when the battle is against us, God provides for us peace. Even when from an earthly perspective, there are too many. Think of Elisha and of his servant when God says through Elisha that those who are with us are far more. And God opens the eyes of the servant to see. And we need to have that understanding that the power of God and His angels are so far more than anyone on earth. God is all powerful. Do we really believe that? So often we live like He's not. God is almighty. He is able to do all of His good will. And God will bring about perfection. We know that even when there are too many from us from an earthly perspective. David says their words are smooth like butter. And what do? They attack behind our backs. They use them for what? Drawn swords. And when we consider the things that go on in this world, so often smooth words are more dangerous than some harsh ones. And we need to know who judges our mouths. We need to be very careful we don't use our words in that manner. We have to realize how evil it is to talk about people behind their back, to counsel about things like that in bad ways. We We're so used to it with gossip and with talking about people. We don't even think about it. We as Christians need to be very, very careful what we use our mouths for. And we need to realize that even the most powerful, dangerous words can sound very smooth. And yet God is the one. Again, where do we look? We look to God. God will not allow His people to be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord. Place your hope, your trust in Him, and He shall sustain you. God cares for us. God carries us through the hardest things that we ever may experience in our lives. And on the other hand, verse 23, God will bring them to the pit of destruction. If there are those, I was discussing this with a couple of my classmates this week at seminary. We were talking about the imprecatory psalms. And I said, we need to pray the imprecatory psalms. And one of my other classmates was a little bit pushed back by that. I said, yes. He said, no, we need to be gracious. I said, we need to be gracious. We need to pray that God would change people's hearts. When there are those who fight against God and against His people, we need to pray for them, that God would change their hearts. But there also needs to be that prayer, but God, if You're not going to, destroy wickedness. Overcome wickedness. Show the truth in this world. God will not allow the righteous to be moved. But those who are fighting against God and against His people, God states that He will bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days. And then that last couple of words there, but I will trust in You. Bloodthirsty, deceitful people. Look around us. You don't have to look far, do you? Perhaps we have never been betrayed as David was here. I hope we never are. But brothers and sisters, in our worst trials, in our hardest, most despairing situations, God doesn't leave us. God doesn't forsake us. And we can moan out to Him, and He hears us, and He is the one whom we can trust to care for us, to carry us, no matter what. Amen. Let us bow ourselves before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we stand in awe that You do hear our prayers and that You promise to hear them through Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that You would not allow Your people to be shaken. And we pray, Lord, even as we consider our sinfulness and our betrayal of You, that we would always more and more put our trust in You. That our hope would be in Christ, eternal in the heavens. And Lord, we do pray that You would convert those who are seeking to destroy Christianity, to overthrow the church throughout this country and throughout this world. We pray that they would see their need of a Savior and be converted. And yet at that same time, Lord, if You are not going to convert them, we pray that righteousness would prevail, that truth would be brought to bear and shown for what it is. We look forward to the day, final day, in which that shall all be clearly seen. And yet, Lord, here you say that the wicked shall not live out half their days, that they will be brought down to the pit of destruction. And we pray, Lord, that if you will not change their hearts, that you would overthrow them, and that truth and righteousness would prevail to the glory and to the honor of your name. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us to always trust in you, in thought, in word, and in deed. And we pray, Lord, that we would look with all of our hearts to our Savior, whom we have betrayed in our sins, and yet who has washed us from those sins and given us eternal life. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.